The third reading is from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a steward, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do? Since my master is taking the stewardship away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from stewardship, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the unrighteous steward for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Is it any surprise then also that what we find abhorrent might just be exalted, true, and good in God's sight? That is, in fact, how the Lord Jesus is able to hide himself in his parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Only to those who know Christ Jesus, who know the depths of God's mercy revealed in the cross, is it given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So, without any further ado, here is the crux, the cross, the sticking point of today's parable. And that is that the master commends the unrighteous, dishonest steward for his shrewdness. Jesus even makes it a bit more personal, and he draws out the lesson from it for us here, that we, sons of light, could stand to learn something, a thing or two, from the dealings of the sons of this world. They are shrewd, they are clever, they are dirty players. They know who their God is, and they do serve him. They serve him wholeheartedly. They press their money and their wits and their scruples, whatever little they have, into the service of a false god, mammon. And it ought to be exactly the same for us, not to serve mammon, of course, but that we be devotedly serving the true God alone. But alas, we sons of light are not as shrewd in our dealings as the sons of this world in theirs. We wish to have our God and our mammon too. We are very comfortable with having no other gods before him. We are not so comfortable having no other gods besides him. Repent. The crux of Christ's parables always reveal that there is something in us that needs to change. If we have not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, why should God entrust to us any true riches? Like St. Paul says, we run our race for a crown that never fades away, for something that is eternal, that lasts forever. But the athletes at the local track meet, they run harder for flowers and for bay leaf crowns than us, the ones who are supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are also those who justify ourselves before men. But God knows the heart. He knows what truly has our attention right now and for the most of the day. And He knows that what makes this parable offensive to us isn't really our righteous indignation at this crook, but it is our envy of Him. That He should get the praise, that He should have the welcome into the houses of many friends, and that He gets the happy ending when I am so obviously better and more deserving than He is. We exalt fairness. We always recognize fairness whenever I am getting my share. So that is how we can envy the wicked and the foolish, even as we abhor them. Nevertheless, there it stands in our text today. The master still finds cause to commend the unrighteous steward for his shrewdness. How can that be? How can this steward's scheme be praised? He cheats the master. He gives away the guy's possessions for free, making him no profit, and this is commendable. Yes, because as in all of our Lord's parables, this master is entirely unlike us. He is the shepherd who is willing to leave 99 behind, all to find the one. This master, this is the one who does not consider it a waste to throw his precious seed everywhere, even to all of the places that our good farmers know will not grow a harvest. And he is the kind of master who gladly pays workers for hours that they have not worked. A day's wage to everyone, no matter what time they come. What is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God abhors self-justification. God abhors our attempts to be right through our own means. God abhors us being lovers of money and worshipers of mammon who do not repent, but who rather rationalize away our idolatry. But He loves to justify the ungodly, to justify the unrighteous through faith in Christ's death and in His righteousness. The way of self-justification can appreciate almost everything in this parable, everything that is except for the crux of the matter, the cross of it, the sticking point. It can love the urge to be shrewd. It can love the idea of giving away money to the poor. It especially looks forward to all of the saints of heaven welcoming me as a hero, as a benefactor, the one who brought them in and the one who deserves this great heaven for all of my great acts. The way of self-justification cannot stand the thought of actually loving the unrighteous steward despite his actions. It cannot stand the idea that the master would be willing or glad to suffer in order to benefit others. And it cannot fathom commending a free giveaway.
These are all of the abhorrent sins of mammon's economists. But what the world calls wasteful and stupid, the Lord Jesus calls grace. This is the one, after all, who justifies the ungodly, and who gives to the one who does not work, but who has faith in Jesus, everything. He is the one who pays gladly the debts of his sinful creatures, and who does it with his own Son's precious blood, delightedly. The shock of this parable, and of all of the Holy Scriptures, is that our God is pleased most of all when his kingdom is given away for free to those who do not deserve it. Indeed, we have in this parable not much of a guideline for any investors, not a very good pattern for bankers. But we do have quite a perfect guideline for pastors. The stewards of our Lord's mysteries are to cancel debts. They're to administer the Father's true riches as he intends. And what he intends is that they be given away freely to sinners. His stewards are called and ordained into the stewardship of holy absolution, the preaching of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. And no wonder much of the world runs away from the sight of a collar even quicker than from the sight of a badge. We are, after all, an abomination in the sight of men, and only exalted by God. Well, no, also by those who treasure the crux, who love the cross above all else. He who has ears to hear, then let him hear. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which even this strange parable cannot conceal from you, dear saints. For you have been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, unrighteous, ungodly, yet you God made alive together with Christ, having forgiven all your trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against you with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Mammon is a miserable, demanding, and never-ending taskmaster, and the law will never stop accusing Mammon's worshippers. But, oh dear saints of God, what a gracious master you have in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what he considers shrewd defies all human imagination. He loves to cancel debts. He loves to forgive sins. He loves to show mercy to you for the sake of his Son and his crux. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.